theoretical. This is not easy hope. And it's okay not to be finding it easy. I think as a church family, God is really teaching us about hope at the moment. Hope despite our circumstances. What it means that we come together as a church family to hold each other in love and hope and to kind of carry that hope for one another when things are tough. Because sometimes that's a hard lesson, isn't it? It can be fine reading about hope in theory, but when the rubber really hits the road, we quickly find out exactly what kind of hope we actually have and what we hope Jesus will do for us and what happens if he doesn't seem to live up to our hopes. It's a lesson that looms large over those festivities of that first Palm Sunday as Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. What exactly are people hoping for from Jesus? And what will happen if he doesn't meet those expectations? It's fair to say that the various groups of people in the streets of Jerusalem that day probably all had very different expectations and hopes of Jesus. The crowds hail him as a king. Matthew and Mark record their cries as Hosanna to the Son of David. We've been singing those words, haven't we? Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. They're invoking images of Israel's greatest king, remembering the heights of his reign when Israel was in its heyday and had great power and wealth and reputation. They're remembering God's promise that he would raise up another great king for them. And if the rumours are true about what Jesus has been doing, then this could be it. Jesus could be the king that they've been waiting for. That's what they're hoping. And if he is, then the Romans' days are numbered. Surely he will raise up an army to defeat their occupiers and oppressors once and for all. They will take back control of their country. They won't be paying taxes to Caesar anymore. Caesar will be nothing compared with God's anointed king. That's what they're hoping. And possibly several of Jesus' disciples were also hoping for something quite similar. Certainly some of them have been envisaging this kingdom that Jesus has been talking about as something physical, something here on earth. And they're hoping that he's now about to bring that to pass. And some of them are even hoping it might mean a bit of power and recognition for themselves too. Maybe they could be his Secretary of State and his Chancellor of the Exchequer, a couple of them ask. Or if you believe the Gospels, they get their mum to ask Jesus. That's what they're hoping. And even those disciples who are perhaps less concerned about their own material gain and understand that Jesus is talking about ushering God's kingdom and his reign, they've seen the miracles that Jesus has been doing and they expect it to come with a blaze of glory and majesty. And that everyone would see it and everyone would recognize Jesus for who he really is. That's what they're hoping for. The Pharisees, well, they're very, very unhappy. But before we rush to judgment, maybe that's understandable. They're also hoping for God's anointed king to come. And they're also hoping that that would mean an end to Rome's occupation. But they're also hoping that this king would uphold and enforce the law as they understood it, with all its regulations. Not welcoming into God's kingdom anybody and everybody, and especially those whose lives clearly didn't match up with the Pharisees' exacting standards, which is what Jesus had been doing. And certainly not a king who seemed to think that he was God himself. And we know that by the time that Jesus enters Jerusalem that day, they've already decided that he wasn't what they were hoping for and were planning to do something about it. Jesus is certainly a king. that he's not going to be the king they'd all hoped for in their different ways. He'd tried to explain it. He was a king who had come to serve, not to be served, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He was the Son of Man who would die but be raised again. He'd tried telling them that, but their own hopes and expectations perhaps had blinded them to that reality, or they just couldn't get their heads around it, or it was just too difficult to accept. And so in the end, they turn on him, abandon him, betray him, deny him, kill him. And so I guess the big question is, what do we hope for from Jesus? We might hear the account of Palm Sunday, and because we know what lies ahead, we think how fickle the crowd is, how naive the disciples are, how wrong the Pharisees are. But maybe if we're honest, we might have one or two false hopes and false expectations of Jesus as well. No matter how much we say that we don't, we might have expectations that our prayers will be answered in a certain way, at a certain time. And when they're not, what then? What if Jesus doesn't deliver what we hope for? What if he doesn't meet our expectations, fulfill our agenda, fit in with our plans and our schedule and our aspirations? Do we abandon him? We do know what lies ahead for Jesus. I think certainly by this stage, if he doesn't already, he does too now, by now. The triumph of Palm Sunday gives way to the pain and brutality of Good Friday. And as Jesus hangs there with his arms outstretched, as he does battle with the sins of the whole of humanity, with our sins, as he breathes his last, knowing that it is finished, it is done, he has accomplished what his Father has sent him to do, I think he would say to the world, to us, isn't this enough? Am I enough? Just me? Do you love me and follow me just for me, and not whether or not I meet all your other hopes and expectations? If I never do another thing for you except love you and give myself to you and for you, isn't that enough? Isn't that more than you could have hoped for? Jesus also has hopes and expectations that Palm Sunday, if his disciples kept quiet, then the very stones would cry out. Maybe he knew that the crowds, even his closest friends, would turn their back on him. But he also knew that nothing would stop him. Nothing would stop him fulfilling God's mission and God's purposes, and that he would be vindicated and that he would be victorious. What might look like defeat and death to us would be resurrection. What might look like disappointment and failure and unanswered prayers would be resurrection. It would be more than any of them could have expected or hoped for. Now, I believe Jesus is concerned with every aspect of our lives. I believe he can and does answer our prayers and meet our hopes and expectations, especially if we expect the unexpected, and that he meets those hopes and expectations in ways that we could never have dreamed of. But maybe we need to realize that hope, real hope, is Jesus-shaped, is cross-shaped. Because it has to be, in order to have the power to withstand the hardest of tests that we might face. Because then, when what might look like disappointment, defeat, and death, we find is actually resurrection, a new life, and real hope. And so I pray that as we face the need for hope together as a church family, because there's been such a lot of encouragement in our church life recently, that I think we're facing just a bit of challenge and opposition, but that as we come together as a church family to pray for each other and to support one another, I pray that it's that kind of hope that we can hold on to and offer each other in the days ahead. Amen.